على ديك الصلوات.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الشريعة أقوالي، والطريقة أفعالي، والحقيقة أحوالي، والمعرفة رأس مالي، والشوق مركبي، والخوف رفيقي، والفقر فخري، وبه افتخر على سائر الأنبياء. صلوات. The Prophet has informed us in this hadith, which tonight we are supposed to talk about the second hadith of the Prophet, that the Sharia is nothing but the composition of my statements. All what the Holy Prophet has said constitutes the Sharia. And the tariqat is nothing but my actions. The composition of the actions of the Holy Prophet constitute the tariqat. And he has said that وَالْحَقِيقَةُ أَحْوَالِي. The reality is nothing but the ahwal of my soul, the situation of his soul, the condition in which his soul belongs. وَالشَّوْقُ مَرْكَبِي. And the means of transportation that Prophet adopts, the vehicle that he rides, is nothing but the keenness and eagerness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fear of Allah is my companion. وَالْخَوْفُ رَفِيقِي. وَالْفَقْرُ فَخْرِي. And the feeling of having need towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we always stand in need towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a matter of my pride. And through this, I feel proud over all the rest of the prophets. We find that the Holy Prophet has informed us in this glorious hadith that Sharia is the composition of my statements, and all what Prophet has performed constitutes the tariqat of the Holy Prophet, the line of action that he adopts, the course of action that he adopts. Everything that the Holy Prophet has performed is the tariqat of the Holy Prophet, and all that he has said is nothing but the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his commands, his orders. We find one of the actions of the Holy Prophet, and one of the most significant actions of the Holy Prophet was prayers. And Prophet used to love prayers. He used to perform the prayers so much that Allah had revealed in the Holy Quran, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوِنْقَصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا. That means, in other words, if you, when you want to stand for the sake of Allah, when you pray for the sake of Allah, just decrease your standings, just decrease your prayers a bit further, make it half or even further less. He used to stand so much for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stand so much in the middle of the prayers, in the middle of the night, that his feet used to get swollen. So much so that Allah had to reveal the verse of Holy Quran, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. We didn't reveal this book on you so that you go into hassles. Prophet used to love prayers. He has said that جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. That means the, you know, I love the prayers so much that I get the cool in my eyes through praying. أَصَّلْ مُصَلِّي يُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ. The person who performs prayers, actually, he performs munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a big difference in Arabic language between nida and munajat. Between munajat and munajat. Nida, this word in the Arabic language is used when you want to call somebody from far away. The guy is standing far away, you want to call him, you would say nida, you would announce his name loud so that he could hear. Prophet didn't say that al-musalli yunadi rabbahu. The person who performs the prayers, he calls Allah from far away. No, he didn't say that. He said al-musalli yunadi rabbahu. Munajat and najwa in Arabic means when you call somebody from who's very close. You are close to him and you are calling somebody who is close to you. So musalli, the person who is praying, actually he calls Allah from close. He is close to God. And there is a big difference, brothers and sisters, between praying and how to love the prayers. Prophet used to love the prayers. Whenever you used to perform the prayers, you used to perform it out of love of God. Another action of the Holy Prophet was fasting. That constitutes the sharia and his tariqah. Fasting is one of the most unique worships of Islam. Unique in the sense that it has three levels. There are three levels of fasting. The first level is the level of awamun nas, the regular people in the society out there who think that as soon as they abstain from drinking and eating, they are fasting. In Islam, this is the lowest level of fasting. This is actually not fasting in the real sense. Because if you want our fast to be accepted by Allah, we have to be above that level in order for our fast to be accepted. This much is unacceptable. Just this much is unacceptable. In the life of the Holy Prophet, we find a woman was fasting, she did ghibah, she backbited, and came to the Holy Prophet. Prophet has ilm al-ghayb, he has the absolute knowledge, he knows everything. No need to hide something from the Holy Prophet, no need to tell a lie. But there are some people, there are some silly people who used to tell lies in front of the Prophet. It's so strange and silly. Somebody who already knows everything, there's no need to hide from him. So, the woman backbited, she was fasting. Like I said, there are people who think if you just abstain from eating and drinking, that's it, your fast is complete, it's intact. She backbited and came to see the Holy Prophet. Prophet said, you are not fasting, you are hungry. She said, Ya Rasulullah, I am fasting. Prophet already gave his decision. The next day she came again, she was fasting as well. And the next day she did rebirth, she backbited some mu'min. And again came to see the Holy Prophet. Prophet said the same remark to her, you are not fasting, you are hungry. On the third day when she came, she didn't do rebirth. Prophet said, today you are fasting. People think it's only about eating and drinking that you have to abstain and that's it. Actually, every part of the human body, that's what Prophet has taught us. Every part of the human body has a share in fasting. Unless all parts of your body are participants in the fast, you should not consider your fast to be acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find in the presence of the Holy Prophet, there was a woman who used abusive words against her servant. And Prophet was there, he was a witness. He saw the woman abusing her servant. And Prophet said to her, come eat food. Here's the food, come eat it. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm fasting. Prophet said, what sort of fast do you have that you have been abusing your servant in the fast? Inna sawma laysa min at-ta'ami wash-sharab. Prophet said, the fast doesn't mean abstaining from eating and drinking alone. Inna sawma laysa min at-ta'ami wash-sharab. Do you think it's only abstaining from food and drinking? What sort of fast is this that you have been abusing that servant? Our tongue has to fast as well. Our ears have to fast as well. Our eyes need to fast as well. Our hands need to fast as well. Every part of the human body has a share in fasting. This is the level of fasting, brothers and sisters, for which we have heard the famous hadith of the Holy Prophet, As-sawmu jannatun minan nar. Fasting is a shield from the hellfire. It keeps the fire away from you if you fast according to the second level of fasting. That means all parts of your body are participating in the fast. This is the level for which we have heard this hadith from the Holy Prophet, that as-sawmu jannatun, it's a shield that shields away the fire from your body. And this fasting is actually on the Day of Judgment, it is going to shield away the flames of the hellfire away from us. If we had fasted in a way that all parts of our body were included. And then we have the third level of fasting in Islam, which is the most superior level, which is the level of awliya, which is the level of the beloved people of Allah, for whom the fast actually So the first level of fasting that I mentioned, the people think that you just abstain from eating and drinking and you're fasting. That level of fasting, which is actually not fasting in the real sense, that fast breaks if you eat something or if you drink something. The second level of fasting, which I just explained to you, in which every part of the human body should be a participant and abstain from the sins, that second level of fast breaks as soon as a person commits a haram. Not as soon as he eats, and of course eating and drinking is not allowed in fasting, but he's above and beyond all that. As soon as he commits a sin, his fast is broken. Because he is working and he is focusing on the acceptability of the fast more than just performing the fast of the lower level. And the third level of fast, which is the level of the awliya of Allah, the beloved people of God, is the fast for those people who never even engage their mind thinking about anyone other than Allah at any time. All they are focused, all they are thinking, is all they are busy is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as soon as they become ghafil, as soon as they get away, they take their attention away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their fast is broken. And that level of fasting, that they always focus on Allah, they always remember Allah, their fast becomes broken as soon as they divert their attention away from God. And so that level of fasting, we find the famous hadith of Qudsi, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relates to that third level of fasting, which is the highest level, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in his hadith of Qudsi that As-sawmu li wa ana asqi bihi, the fasting belongs to me, and I am the one who rewards for the fast. Our scholars say the tone of this statement, this hadith of Qudsi, is so great. It's so great in Arabic language that it shows that Allah personally takes the responsibility for rewarding the person who is fasting. He personally takes the responsibility. Such a beautiful tone of the hadith. As-sawmu li, fasting belongs to me, it's mine. It's, this worship is mine, although all the worships are his. But specifically he says, this worship is mine. The third level of fasting. وَأَنَا أَجْزِبِهِ And I'm going to reward for that. So, but we have to make our heart solely for His sake, solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to be entitled to receive those rewards. And our scholars of Allah say that Allah has provided one heart. When there is one heart, there has to be the love of one in one heart. It shouldn't be the love of and love of two. Otherwise Allah would have made two hearts. مَا جَعْلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ Allah did not create two hearts for anybody. He made one heart. There has to be the love of one and the only one in our heart. Certainly we love our family members, we love our wife and children, we love our parents. We should love them. That's good. That's what Allah has commanded. But if you love all those people as much as Allah has commanded, you are loving none but Allah. But as soon as you step a little bit forward, as soon as you love your family, your children, your parents or anybody more than what Allah has commanded, you have stepped farther than the love of Allah, and this is where the problem starts. Anything you love in this world, as much as Allah has commanded you, as much as Allah has permitted you, this is nothing but love of God. That's fine. That's not contradictory to the love of God, because qalb and heart is one. يَبْنَ آدَمْ بِقَدْرِنَا يَمِيلُ قَلْبُكَ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا اُخْرِجُ مَحَبَّةِ عَنْ قَلْبِكَ O son of Adam, as much as your heart gets inclined towards this world, I am going to take my love out of your heart. فَإِنِّي لَعَجْمَ حُبِّي بَحُبَّ الدُّنْيَا فِي قَلْبٍ وَاحِدٍ أَبَدًا, because I'm never going to combine my love and the love of this dunya in one heart at a time. It's never going to combine. Do you think we can combine love of dunya and love of akhirat both? Let's take both of them together. No, both are never going to work. It can never work. It's impossible. It has to be either love of God or love of this dunya. Both you can never work out. So the Prophet had said that al-shawq markabi. He was so eager and keen towards Allah, so much love of Allah always, that always he was focused on God. He never used to divert his attention away from Allah throughout his life, whether it be the prayers or anything other than the prayers. Always used to focus on God. The slightest diversion away from Allah would be considered something inappropriate for the Holy Prophet that he never did. He used to say that إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ سَبْحِينَ مَرَّةٍ. I do the istighfar of Allah every day 70 times. But the Prophet doesn't need istighfar. He doesn't have anything. So, أَشَّوْقُ مَرْكَبِي. He was so keen towards Allah. إِنَّ لِي مَعَ اللَّهِ وَقْتًا لَا يَسَعُنِي فِيهِ مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبْ وَلَا نَبِيٌّ مُرْسَلٌ. I have with my Lord a special time in which nobody can bother me, nobody can come in the middle, nobody can come in between, no close angel of Allah and no messenger of God can come in between me and my Lord in that specific time. Prophet had a specific time which was specific between him and Allah, and no one had the right to bother the Holy Prophet in that specific time. Like we find about Salman Farsi, rahmatullah alayh, he had a specific time with the Holy Prophet and Imam Ali alayhi salam, where nobody used to be there. Salman Farsi is the, you know, mahram-e-raz. He was the one who shares the secrets with the Holy Prophet and Imam Ali alayhi salam. Somebody talked about Salman in front of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam said that what do I talk about a person whom Allah has provided with the knowledge ilm al-awwal wal-akhir wal-zahir wal-batin. The knowledge of the beginning and the knowledge of the end and the knowledge of the apparent existence and the knowledge of the hidden realities. Everything given to him. He had a specific time with the Holy Prophet. No other companion, not even Abu Zar or Ammar or Midad. What to talk of the rest of the companions? We find one of the Ashab of the Holy Prophet once came, and Salman Farsi was sitting with the Holy Prophet in his own time, and the guy entered into the gathering and Prophet stopped talking. Immediately Prophet stopped about what he was discussing with Salman. And that companion of the Holy Prophet said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, let us know as well what you were talking with Salman. And Prophet said, honey is harmful for newborn babies. The Prophet doesn't talk. He doesn't need to talk everything to everybody at all times. No, in Arabic we say لِكُلِّ مَقَالٍ مَقَامٍ وَلِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. For every instance there is a statement, and for every statement there is an instance, there is a time where it needs to be said. Not every statement can be said everywhere, and not everywhere every statement could be told, and not to everybody. Everybody doesn't deserve to be told. Abu Zar came, he was sitting with Salman. Abu Zar and Salman were brothers with each other. Prophet made them brothers. Abu Zar belongs to the ninth level, Salman to the tenth. How much difference do they have between the ninth and the tenth levels? That we find that Abu Zar came out, he saw Salman was cooking something on the stove. and all of a sudden, the frying pan or that bowl in which he was cooking, it fell down. It fell down, but nothing dropped from the bowl. Nothing dropped on the ground. And Abu Dhabi was shocked. And Salman picked it up with his hand without a glove, holding the burning bowl in his hand without the glove, and he picked up the bowl and put it back on the stove, and nothing dropped out of it. Abu Dhabi was shocked with this situation. He came out and he saw Imam Ali alayhi salam. In one of the statements, Imam Ali alayhi salam said that لو علم أبو ذر ما في قلب سلمان لقتله. If Abu Dhar knew what is in the heart of Salman, he would have killed him. Or in some of the scholars have interpreted this hadith in a different way. They said, instead of saying he would have killed him, Abu Dhar would have killed him, they interpret it in a different way. They say that knowledge, if he knew what is in the heart of Salman, the knowledge of Salman, the ma'rifat of Salman, the knowledge of Salman would have killed Abu Dhar. Because he cannot stand that level of knowledge and ma'rifat of Salman. He doesn't belong to that level. That's why it's never told. It shouldn't be told to everybody. The level of shock and keenness that the Prophet had towards Allah, it's ununderstandable for the regular person unless the person reaches the level of ma'rifat of the Holy Prophet, which nobody can reach. It was just Imam Ali alayhi salam and the Holy Prophet who belonged to that level. Because Prophet Rabi said to Imam Ali that ma'arif Allah illa ana wa anta. Nobody had recognized Allah except me and you. Nobody recognized me except Allah and you. And then he said, وَمَا عَرِفَكَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَا. And nobody had recognized you except Allah and me. So we find that there's a difference between nida and munajat. When you call somebody from far away and you call somebody when he's close. That's why munajat is from the word najwa, and najwa in Arabic means whisper. That's why we do munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet has said, Al-Musalli yunaji rabbahu. The person who is praying, he's actually whispering with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in the prayers you are supposed to be close to God. You don't need to shout. This way is enough. You are close to God when you are praying. It's the mirage of a moment. It's the ascension of the soul of the moment. And the body as well. So, الشوق المركبي والخوف رفيقي. Prophet said that the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my companion. Always, always the fear of God was with him. And he was always having the fear of Allah with him. This is the sign of the tahat and freshness of his soul. Because our scholars say, the more your level of tahat and cleanliness of the soul, and the more your level of knowledge, the more you would fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The less your level of tahat and cleanliness, the more you are into the sense, and the less you have knowledge, the less you would be having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things are directly proportional to each other. The level of knowledge and the fear of God. Because Allah has said in the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. It's only the scholars, it's only the knowledgeable people who fear Allah. So no one other than knowledgeable people fear God. So you have to increase in your knowledge in order to be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the knowledge of the Holy Prophet was absolute. The highest possible level for a human. So that's why you find you at the highest level of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the same for our imams. When they used to stand up for the wudu, they used to shiver with the fear of Allah. Sometimes these things are ununderstandable for us. when somebody objected an Imam or asked Imam Hassan alayhi salam, why are you shivering at the time of Zuhur? He said, why shouldn't I shiver? I am now preparing myself to go in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I should shiver. So it was unquestionable for him. And that's why he was always shivering in the presence of Allah. Every Imam was like this. Because they had the khawf, because they had the highest level of knowledge. وَالْفَقْرُ فَخْرِي Prophet said, then we have two kinds of fakr. Like we have two kinds of khawf. Our scholars say, either you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you don't have to fear anything else. Or you fear everything else if you don't want to fear Allah. The choice is yours. Because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, whosoever fears Allah, Allah makes everything else afraid of him. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَخَفْ مِنَ اللَّهِ And whosoever doesn't fear Allah, خَافَ مِنْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ He gets afraid, he gets scared of everything else. So the choice is yours. If you want to fear Allah, you don't have to fear anything else. And that's why those who fear Allah are not afraid of anything else. And those who do not fear Allah, those who don't have taqwa, they are the ones who fear not just one or two, but everything else. And on top of everything are the humans. And that is practically proven. Those people who do not fear Allah, those people who don't have taqwa, they are afraid of everything, and on top of everything, the humans, the people, the society. You tell them, well, the people would say this and this and this, and they would get afraid. Because they don't fear Allah. They fear the people. They fear everything else. And likewise, it's fakr. Prophet has said that feeling the need, that we stand in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, which we always stand in need of Allah. There are so many humans who do not feel this need, that we are needy towards Allah. We stand in need of our Lord always. Not just in our creation alone, but after the creation continuously we stand in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every moment of our life we stand in need of Him. We don't feel that need. So we have two kinds of fakr. One fakr is al-faqru ila Allah, which is very much appreciated in Islam. That means standing in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we always stand in need, but some people don't realize. And the second category of faqr is that, the second category of poverty is that al-faqru ila nas, being faqir and poor towards the people, being needy towards the people. This is very much condemned in Islam. And we should seek the refuge of Allah from making us such that we stand in need towards the people. Or we stretch our hands towards the people. It's condemned. It's an insult of God actually, somebody who stretches his hand in front of the people, instead of seeking help from Allah, he's actually insulting God. If he understands. But we are still supposed to help those people. Whosoever is needy, it's our responsibility to help them as much as we can. So, Prophet has said, Al-Faqru Fakhri. Fakr, standing in need towards Allah, is a matter of my pride. وَبِهِ أَفْتَخِرُ عَلَىٰ صَائِرِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ And on this, I am proud over all the rest of the Prophets of God. So, Prophet was so much needy towards Allah, and so much relying on God in everything, and so much interested in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his pleasure, that our riwayat tell us that the dunya was presented before the Prophet and the akhirat was presented before the Prophet as well. Prophet didn't pay attention neither to the dunya nor to the akhirat. He said, I don't need none of those two. God is sufficient for me. And that's exactly what we have learned from the Hadith of Qudsi, that Ad-Dunya, actually that's the Hadith of the Holy Prophet that he has narrated. He told us that Ad-Dunya haramun ala ahli al-akhirah. وَالْآخِرَةُ حَرَامٌ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمَا حَرَامَانِ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ اللَّهِ. Dunya is haram on those who belong to Akhirat. And Akhirat is haram on those who belong to this dunya. The Prophet said, وَهُمَا حَرَامَانِ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ اللَّهِ. And Dunya and Akhirat are both haram on those who belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a great hadith of the Holy Prophet, although all his statements are great. Ad-Dunya haramun ala ahli al-akhirah. Dunya is haram on the people of Akhirat. Those who are running after Akhirat, they shouldn't care about this dunya. Wal akhiratu haramun ala ahli al-dunya. Those people who are running after this dunya, they are the children of this dunya. In the terms of Imam Ali alayhi salam, they are running after this dunya, they are worshipping this dunya. In other words, Akhirat is haram for them. They can get nothing of Akhirat. They shouldn't. And they will not. وَهُمَا حَرَامَانِ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ اللَّهِ. And both of them are haram on those people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything they perform for the sake of God. They don't even keep any blessing of dunya in their intentions, or any blessing or reward of Akhirat in their intentions when they are performing a worship. All they keep in their mind is the pleasure of God and nothing but the pleasure of God. Even Akhirat is haram on them, because what they get is way more than just the rewards. See, in Surah Rahman, Allah has announced, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Whosoever fears the maqam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has jannatani. It's the tense of tasmiya. In Arabic we have a tense of singular, and we have tense for two, and then we have a tense for two plus, which is called plural in Arabic. So for two we have a tense in Arabic, which is called tasmiya. So it's jannatani. It's the tasmiya tense. Whosoever fears the maqam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two paradise. Jannatani, not one, two paradise. This is Surah Rahman. Somebody who fears the maqam of Allah will have two paradise, two jannats. Our scholars say, first jannat is the al-jannatul hissiyya, the tangible paradise, the same famous paradise that me and you have discussed. Several times, the same paradise, allati tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, the fountains run underneath the feet in that fountain, in that paradise, the famous jannat. And the second jannat is al-jannatul aqliya, the intellectual paradise, which we cannot understand, and none of those people who belong to the first level of paradise can understand what level of blessings are arranged and prepared for those who belong to the second level of paradise. That is the Al-Jannatul Aqliya. So in Surah Rahman, Allah has informed us, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. So Akhirat is haram, and Akhirat and Dunya both are haram for those who belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything they perform in their life is for the sake of God. They are way higher. And this is what we learned from the life history of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. On the day of Ashura, look what Imam Hussein had said. Ilahi, taraktul khalqa turran fi hawak. O my Lord, I have left all the creations for the sake of your love. Everything has been left aside by Imam Hussain alayhi salam for the sake of love of Allah. وَأَيْتَمْتُ الْعِيَالَ لِكَيْ أَرَاكَ. And I made my children orphans so that I can see you, so that Imam Hussain can reach the level of liqa'ullah, meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the highest level. I made my children orphan so that I can see you. This is all ma'rifat and irfan of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. This is all the level of his ma'rifat that he talks about. وَأَيْتَمْتُ الْعِيَانَ لِكَيْ أَرَاكَ وَلَوْ قَطَعْتَنِي فِي الْحُبِّ إِلْمًا. And in your love, if they cut me into pieces, مَا حَنَّ الْفُؤَادُ إِلَى سِوَاكَ, my heart would still not be inclined towards anyone other than you. No matter what they do with me, my heart would still be inclined towards none but you.
This is the love of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And we find that Imam Hussain alayhi salam was all focused on God, remembering Allah all the time, even on the day of Ashura. Since the beginning of the day, how much he was remembering Allah, how much he was thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much he was focused on his duties towards Allah, that he didn't miss. Sheikh Jafar Shustari rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned Imam Hussain alayhi salam did not even miss out on a single mustahab of the Sharia, even on the day of Ashura. Not even a single mustahab of Islam was missed by Imam Hussain. He did all the mustahabat. Look at the love of Imam Hussain towards Allah, how much he focused on his duty. The riwayat tell us when Imam Hussain alayhi salam came down from his horse, he came down on his face. He came down several times on his face. We find the riwayat tells us that Imams actually did not come down on the ground of Karbala because his body was raised over the arrows. And the Sultana understood the situation of Mawla. So Sultana actually, some scholars narrated that Sultana kneeled down to facilitate Imam Hussain to come down safely on the ground of Karbala. So Imam Hussain, when he came down, he fell several times on his face. And he used to raise his head again. And look, what he was looking, that the army does not attack the Khiyam and the tents where the ladies were available, because it was not honorable for Imam Hussain that the enemy attacks the Ahle Haram in the presence of Imam Hussain. So he objected, yes, after Abu Sufyan, and you can let him be given, for whom to not have him in the heart, for whom you have not been given Yakum, in the Nisa, late Hanu Hun Abdullahun, the ladies have no mistake, I'm fighting you and you are fighting me, why are you attacking the ladies? So similar stuff with army men to attack the defense of Imam Hussain. I would like to say to Mona that soon after your shahadat, come and see how some of the next people are attacking Islam. How the ladies are running from one khiyam to another, from another khiyam to another, sitting there at the top. Can Hazrat Zainab came into the khiyam of Imam Sajjad and said that shall we burn down alive? You get burned alive here, or we go out by saving your lives. And Imam asked them to go out to save their lives. And the ladies were slapping on their faces, coming there faces with the hair, and came out, Ba Muhammada, Ba Aliya, and they're asking the help from the Holy Prophet, and complaining to the Prophet and the Prophet.
على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا أيهم كنبي إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الصحراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite من سورة الفاتحة for the following مرهومين: Riayat Hussain Naqvi, Marhum Masood Hussain, Marhum Anwar Rizvi, Marhuma Sughra Fatima, Marhuma Nargis Khatun, مرحوم مبشرہ یاسین and مرحوم حبیب علی شام جی and مرحوم غلام عباس سیانی.
Okay.